We thank the Lord to be back in the house of the Lord. Maybe without taking much time, I just want to share this afternoon just a little thought. The last time we were here, we spoke on the children of God, how God deals with his children. As a father chastises the son, we saw that God chastises his children. Because one thing with God is that God is life. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he taught us, he said that when you pray, don't just use repetition of words. So God is not just one who just goes on repeating, because right. He is life. He produces and he manifests life, and life is progressive. It goes on. That's how he did with his people. You can look way from the days of Abel. How the Bible tells us how Abel, by faith, he offered a good sacrifice. And you know, from Abel, we come to Enoch, we come to Abraham. You can see God is working with his people on the same basis of faith, but it's not a repetition of things.
Right.
When he told Noah to build the ark, when it came to Moses, it was the same faith, but he was to take the people across to the promised land. So God is progressive, so is his revelation also. It is progressive.
Yes.
We cannot keep on one thing. So because God is life, that's why he gave us his word. And the Lord Jesus Christ said his word is spirit and it is life.
Amen.
So we thank God for giving us this, because we need the word which is life for us to live. So the children of God are received. The Bible says God chastises every son that he receives. So we bear that because that's what makes us what we should be. Through that chastisement, Caleb and Joshua could discern the purpose of God in their lives. And we also saw that the children of God are called unto adoption. We are not called to a standstill. We grow from glory to glory, from faith to faith. So there is this expectation in us, which is our adoption. And that Paul says is the redemption of the body. So we are brought into the word of God. After the chastisement, we are given the purpose of God's calling, our inheritance. So there is that predestination which looks unto adoption. So this afternoon, I just want maybe to speak on the same thing, that the sons of God, they hear the voice of God.
Amen.
So we will read from the book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, or maybe let's just start with John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 25. John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believed not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me."
Amen.
and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Now, we just want to speak on this, that the children of God, they hear the voice of God. And Jesus, when He spoke these words here, He said, I'm telling you, or I'm showing to you the word, but you do not believe. Even the works that I do, they witness of who I am, but you do not believe. And in verse 26 he says, because ye are not of my sheep. So Jesus is putting here clear that hearing the voice of God, or hearing the word of God, it does not just take one to hear God speak, but it takes the ability to understand or to grasp the purpose or what God is speaking. Like we saw in the morning that Isaiah said, who has received our report, and to whom was the hand of the Lord revealed? So Jesus here says they could not hear His voice. He put it plain to them that I have shown you the works which testify who I am. Mm-hmm. I have spoken the word which is from my Father, but you do not believe it. You do not accept it. We saw in the morning that it was through the hearing of the voice of, or the word of God, that Abraham had faith. So, and we actually saw in the morning that it's not just hearing what has been said, but actually the word here means to understand, to get the revelation. So it's pointless to hear and not get the revelation.
Right.
Because you may hear and you know, try to do or act upon what you have heard, but without the understanding, you can well do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Supposing you are doing the right thing.
Right.
So it takes that ability to hear. And in verse, let's just see again, chapter 10, where we are reading. Let's go to verse 31. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which one of these works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Amen. Jesus Christ did good works among them. He healed their sick, raised their dead. Those who were possessed of evil spirits, He cast them out. And they just say, for all those good works you have done, we have no problem with you. You are right. But for blasphemy, because you, being a man, you are saying that you are God, for that we are stoning you. But you see, Jesus Christ, was the true manifestation of God. Mm-hmm. Was in the beginning was the Word. Mm-hmm. And the Word, which is the Logos, is the manifestation or the great eternal spirit which is invisible and covers all space and time. It has no limit to it. That great spirit created that body, the Word, to manifest the essence of this great eternal spirit. So actually the Word is the manifestation of this great Elohim. And this Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And then they say, because you are saying you are God, or you are equaling yourself with God, we want to stone you. Yet he had done many works among them. You know, the very works that he did, Jesus said, these are they which testify who I am. But they liked the words. They liked to see him multiply fish and bread and them eating. They liked to see him turning water into wine. They liked him seeing doing all those good works. And they followed him for that. Yet those very works were the voice of God speaking to them, to show them the hour they were living in, to tell them what they were supposed to do. But they had not that ability to hear. Because when God speaks, and whenever he does whatever he does, it is there. There's a voice behind every sign. Behind everything that God does, there is a voice.
Yes.
So, what they were interested in was the sign, as far as it was good to them, but the message or the voice behind the sign, they could not grasp. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus told them, you do not believe, you cannot accept, you cannot see what God is trying to show you by the works that he is doing and what he is showing forth. You remember that time when he blessed the fish and the bread, and they ate and were full. The next day, they came again and said, we were looking for you. Where were you? And he said, you are not looking for me because you saw the sign, but because you ate bread and were full. So behind that bread and fish, there was a sign. But to them they say, for giving us bread and fish, you are okay. We don't condemn you. So when they ate the bread and the fish, they could not see the sign. They just saw bread and fish. And they really enjoyed it. Thanked God for it. Praised God for it. But when God gave them that, it was not just for them to eat the bread, but to see the sign. Like it was in the wilderness. When God gave them the manna, for 40 years they were eating the manna, but they were grumbling along. They were complaining along the way. And then at the end of 40 years, God says, I gave you manna in the wilderness. I gave you water from the rock. I wanted you to know that man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you see, there's a way, you know, this is the way that God reveals or he speaks. But whenever God does that, people, they cannot grasp, they cannot see, they cannot hear what God is saying. Yet God is speaking to the people. Amen. So, seeing the signs of God, or seeing what God does, or hearing the voice, it's not just hearing the audible voice. It's not just by seeing something that God does. But behind it all, there must be an ability to understand the real purpose for the thing that God has done.
Amen.
You remember the brazen serpent? When it was given to them, Moses said to make this brazen serpent, and he put it up there. And everyone who looked at it would be healed. But that brazen serpent was pointing to Christ. So when Christ came, after all these signs had been given, even the manna, it was pointing to Christ.
Right.
The rock which was smitten was pointing to Christ. Even the prophets they were given were pointing to Christ. So when that which was being pointed to actually came, they could not grasp it. They could not see it. You see? Because it was that they just liked the miracles, or they just heard the voice, but without having the true understanding. You know, it's like even in our age, you know, Brother Branham used to say, "I'm God's voice to you." Sure, that's what he was. He was God's voice. But, you know, people go down to say his audible voice, his utterances, as he spoke, that is God speaking. So, you have to hear God's voice. So here, when the prophet is speaking, you are hearing God's voice. It is not the voice of Brother Branham, but it is the message which he brought, which is God's voice, pointing us to that which God wants us to go,
right.
And that is to his word. You see, so as it has been throughout the ages, where people they gather around the manna and think the manna is the absolute, the manna is what God called them out of Egypt to enjoy. Yet it was something that was pointing to the real word, or to the real bread, which is Christ Jesus. They like to drink the water. Yes, this water they drank, they enjoyed it, their animals and everything. Yet, it was pointing to the real water. So, but when the real water came, they could not accept it.
Right.
They say, you are taking too much on yourself. You are making yourself God. They could not hear what God was speaking. They could not hear what he was pointing to. And then they challenged him, "Moses, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. What are you going to do?" And then Jesus told them, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but they are all dead."
Mm-hmm.
It was not Moses who gave them the manna, but it's my Father who gives you true bread out of heaven.
Amen.
And they said, "Okay, just give us that bread." He gives them, they say, "No, that's too much for us." They went back. You see, so why? Because they could not hear the voice, or they could not hear what God was speaking to them.
Right.
So it has been like that throughout the ages, where people gather around, where people enjoy the sign without understanding the meaning of the sign. They enjoyed coming for the second day to Jesus Christ, that he may give them more bread. But they could not understand why that bread was given to them. It was only Peter who said, "Where can we go? Because you have the words of eternal life."
Right.
He had seen the sign that this is the word of life. Because if he could go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and see that God said, "I give you the manna, so that you may know that man liveth not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And when Peter saw the same sign of bread coming, he could now discern that this is pointing to the life that comes from the word.
Amen.
So life does not come from just enjoying the sign. It comes from accepting and getting the revelation of the sign. And then the sign becomes the voice of God. It becomes now, it has now a meaning for the purpose which God gave the sign for. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, Matthew chapter 13, chapter 13, we read verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Amen.
Amen.
So, when Jesus was teaching these people, it's like on that day when he gave them the bread, it says he spoke to them at length until they were hungry. And then the disciples came to him and said, you better dismiss them because they've been here a long time. They must go back and find food. Then he says, why should we send them back? Give them food. Then Peter said, even if we buy bread, it's not even enough for these people. And he said, what have you? He says, just these 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus blessed them and gave them. Those people had spent the whole day listening to him. But as they were listening, here he says, it is not given to them to understand these things, but to you it is given. Okay, I think there's one more verse there we can read in Matthew chapter 13. In verse 9, he actually says, Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Jesus had spoken to them the parable of the sower. He says, let him who has ears to hear, hear. But when he spoke, to them about the parable of the sower, everybody was hearing. But he says, there must be those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. And then he said to his disciples, it is not given to them to understand the mysteries of God, but to you it is given. You get it? And then in verse 18 of chapter 13, verse 18, it says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. He had given them the parable of the sower. The only people heard that voice, that audible voice teaching them or telling them about the parable of the sower. But when it comes to his disciples, he say, now hear ye therefore the parable. Get the understanding now of what the parable is meaning. So hearing is not just getting the audible voice, but hearing is getting the understanding. And then Jesus says, it is given to you to understand the mysteries of God. It is given to you to understand the word of God. So, to who is it given to understand the things of God? You know, God is at liberty to speak his word to show his signs, to do all the things that pertain to his will and his desire. But it is not all who see these things, who can come to the perfection of the purpose of God. Like in our age, even when God sent the prophet, many miracles were displayed. And how many people came? Those of Oral Roberts, Tony Osborne, Maurice Cerullo, they all came and they saw the magnitude of the miracles. And then they asked him, can we also go and do this? And Brother Branham told them, God hears any man who is sincere and who has faith. Tommy Osborne went and performed the miracles. Oral Roberts went and performed the miracles. But why did God send this man to and give him all these miracles? Behind all those miracles, there was a message.
Right.
But the people were motivated by the miracles, and they went to do their own ministries at a very large scale. But what was God meaning by these miracles? We have that understanding that the miracles even were just the first pool. And then would come the second pool. Then would come even the third pool to bring us into the enlightenment of the word.
Amen.
So did everyone understand the purpose of these works which were done in this ministry? They did not. But Jesus says to his own, now come and hear. Everybody has heard, but there's a special group who have to have a special ear in a special way to hear what God is speaking.
Amen.
Amen. And that is where now life comes from. It comes from that when you come to the realization of the purpose of God speaking. You come to the realization of why God has done what he has done. Because he speaks in his words. He speaks whenever he brings a sign. It is God still speaking. Amen. Now, there is a way how we can hear when God speaks. In John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Then when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Amen. You see now, here he tells them openly why they cannot understand his speech. Why they cannot hear his voice. Why they cannot have an understanding of the message that he is bringing to them. He says, because you are of your father, the devil.
Right.
He abides not in truth. So he has not the ability to accept truth. So to hear or to accept this word of God, it goes back to our genes, to our origin. Who brought us forth? Because he says, you cannot hear
because you are of your father the devil. So it takes now the children of the kingdom to hear the things of the kingdom. It takes the children of God to have an understanding of the things of God. It's something above just grouping together or worshiping together or coming to church. In everything that God does, He is speaking to His own. He is speaking to His children. He is speaking to those ordained to hear what He wants them to hear. And it may not be vocal, it may be a sign, it may be something that comes up, it may be in your life, you enter into, or you go through some hardship, or you go through some terrible thing, or you go through a wonderful thing. It takes to be a child of God to understand why God has done what He has done. And that to your benefit. You remember Peter? When he was fishing there, you could not catch any fish. The Lord came to him. He says, throw your net on this side. He caught a lot of fish. What did he say after catching the fish? He threw the fish there and came to the Lord and said, I'm a sinner. He could discern, he could see why this happened to him.
Amen.
He was given that understanding. Because, you know, at face value, to just look at somebody who has been blessed, to think of himself as a sinner, you know, is something very difficult. Mm. Because if I go and minister, people, they come to the Lord, and blessings come, I can say this is the vindication of my ministry, because God has done good here. Can you see? That can be, you know, the general understanding. When God blesses, it looks like it's a sign that things are okay in your life. But Peter, when things were okay in his life, he says, I am a sinner. How did he discern that? How did he see that? It was because of the predestination of God in him, which gave him the ability to understand and to see that God has done this because He wants me to repent and come to Him. Mm-hmm. You see? Otherwise, you could have said, it's blessing. Okay, that young man whom God, the Lord Jesus, he came to the Lord and said, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, you keep the commandment. In Deuteronomy, if you keep the commandment, God says, you'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be the lender, not the borrower. Mm. You have the blessings. You'll be in the lead. And exactly this young man kept the commandments. And he was a leader. He had a lot of wealth. A vindication, so to speak, of his holiness and his abiding in the law. Then Jesus comes and tells him, now you take all that and give it to the poor and come follow me. Take the very evidence of his acceptance by God. Because to him, for him to be rich, it was the acceptance of God, because he had kept the law. But yet God was speaking something again to him. Now you are rich because you have kept the law. Okay? But now take these riches of keeping the law and now come to the fulfillment of the law. Who is Jesus Christ? Then he says, no, I cannot do it. Yet Jesus was the very fulfillment of the law. So he did not want to come to the real thing, the essence of the law. Yet he thought he was keeping the law. You see, God gave us a message. As the brother was saying, the prophet says, say what I say. Say what the text says. Is that right? Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. But remember, this man is a prophet. He speaks with a prophetic anointing. He speaks with a prophetic utterance. It's not just speaking words. Because there is this general understanding that when Brother Branham came, he came to reveal everything, to open everything, so that it can just be there, open. If that's the case, that Brother Branham came to us as in a classroom to tell us 1 + 1 = 2, and he writes it on the board, 1 + 1 = 2. While it is on the board there, 1 + 1 = 2, he gives you a test. You write this test for your examination. This is your examination. You sit down and write. You find on the examination paper, 1 + 1 =, you need to put the answer. When you are sitting right there and the answer is right there on the board, that cannot be an examination. So Brother Branham never came to put everything clear there so that everybody can see it. If that's the case, then our faith is not the faith of Abraham.
Right.
You see? He never came to put everything clear. That's why, you know, people, they just want to admit, there are still questions in the people's lives and minds about the word of God. You cannot exhaust God. He came. You know, when God brings a prophet on the scene, like it was in the days of Jesus Christ, when Jesus was on the scene as the Son of Man, there was now the ability. He was bringing people to have the ability to understand the word of God by faith. That's why Jesus Christ is the very manifestation of God. Yet he was hidden to the people.
Right.
When he came, people should have seen, now this is God whom we have been looking for, whom we have been worshipping. Now he has revealed himself. But they would not see still. Because never at one time did God ever put everything on the open like that. You have to have the ability to understand. And that is something that is inbuilt in you. And it takes something for you to understand the word of God. Here, why people cannot understand, why people cannot see God's move and his work in their time, Jesus says, because you are of your father, the devil. You cannot understand these things because of your birth. Genetically, you cannot take the things of God because Satan was never in the truth from the beginning. So, how can we, and what does it take for us to understand what God is speaking to us, even practically in our life? Things happen in our life. Some people have forsaken God because of things that happened in their lives. Some people cannot go through because sometimes of hardships or misunderstandings that creep into their life. But why has God allowed it? Imagine Job. When he went into what he went through, he did not understand why. That's why he had a lot of questions. Why is it that the righteous suffer and those who are of sin, they just go free? Why is it that all these things are happening to me? You see, yet he never despised God.
Right.
He never forsook God. Why did he keep holding on? Yet he did not even understand fully what he was going through. He never made a decision. He never made to a con- he never came to a conclusion that because I'm suffering thus, away with God in my life. He never did that. Yet he did not understand though why he was going through what he was going. What was that that kept him clinging on? What is it that kept him holding on? You know, at times we don't understand why things are happening the way they are happening in our lives. Sometimes we come through hardships that we cannot even comprehend. But why is it? Yet there's something deep down in you that encourages you to keep on. Keep on pressing. Keep on going. But I can't understand. Yes, you can understand, but keep on going.
Right.
You see? In our life, you know, we may not comprehend all the things that happen in our life. Take for instance, when you first went to school, the first 2-3 years in school, 4 years, 5 years, even 10 years, maybe you didn't understand what education is all about. You didn't understand of what value it will be in your life. That's why there was all the encouragement of this and that for you to go to school. But it will come time now when you will understand the purpose of education. But what kept you going when you were in your first year in school? Maybe you faced the hardships, others were bullying you. You had this problem, but you never said, when I was in my mama's home, I know this problem. I better go back to mama's home. I better go back home. School is no good. There's something that made you to keep on going.
Right.
You didn't even understand at that time. You know, that is the human aspect. As a human being, you know, there are some things that are just put in you to keep you until you come to understand when you are of age. Is that aspect is now, you know, it's embedded, it's predestinated, it's put in the children of God so that they can understand the things of God.
Amen.
Without even comprehending the whole picture. There's something that tells them, keep on going. What is it? What is that? For sure, when Peter spoke those words, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Maybe he did not very much understand even what he was speaking.
Right.
If somebody would have come and said, now Peter, explain to us what you mean. Maybe he did not understand it fully.
Right.
And remember, the Holy Ghost had not yet come.
Right.
This was just an anointing which came upon him to speak these things. Mm. You see? But he said those very words. What is it that made him to say that and to believe it in that way? It's what Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to explain to your sheep. Now we are starting from here. From here we are going over that plain, across that mountain. Behind there is water there to drink. After you drink the water, we go behind there. There's limestone there. You can lick on the limestone. Then the sheep says, okay, now we understand. You are telling us the whole thing. Now we will follow you. They've got confidence in the shepherd.
Right.
And they hear his voice stage by stage. Amen. There is something in sheep that has confidence in the shepherd. There's something in sheep that makes them to rely on the shepherd without a full understanding of the things. You see? And now, after there is that in the background, now comes Jesus. Now he calls them together and says, now come and I will explain to you the parable of the sower. Amen. He can only explain it after there is that instinct or there is that revelation in you that totally surrenders to his leadership. Like Job at the end, God came to him and said, now stand up like a man. I want to speak to you. And then God spoke to him. Then Job said, I had only heard by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen. I know, now I know my Redeemer lives. And one day you stand on this earth. You see? It comes from being a child of God. There's something in a child of God that makes him to accept the word of God and gives him that understanding, that purpose of God, and it makes him to keep going.
Right.
That is what keeps him on top of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
Now, we come to, Peter, when the Lord Jesus said, whom do people say I, the Son of Man, am? And then Peter said those words, you are the Christ, Son of the Most High God. And Jesus told him, he said, what he has spoken is not from flesh and blood. What you have said, you have not been taught it, but it's my Father who has revealed this to you. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But if you go down a few days later, he was even questioning Jesus going to the cross. You see, he did not have a full comprehension. He did not have a full understanding of this Christ, who is the Son of the Most High God. But he was put on the foundation of that faith and belief that Jesus is Christ. Now, since he is built upon that foundation, yes, the gates of hell can come against it, but they cannot overcome. It doesn't mean when you come into the Word of God, when you come to the purpose of God, it doesn't mean you are free from the from battles. You are free from all these from the arrows of Satan. It doesn't mean that. But there's something that is in you that you are built upon a foundation. You may not fully comprehend it. You may not fully understand it. But there's one thing for sure. You are not built on shifting sands of men's interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
You are built upon something that is solid.
Mm-hmm.
And the solidness of that foundation is because you are a child of God. Genetically, your origin is in God. Amen. And it gives you the ability to understand the things of God. You get it? You know, the Lord may bring you into a situation and teach you and reveal to you and expound things to you and open up things to you. But before you come to the fruition or to the end of it, there's something that keeps you going. There's something that makes you desire the things or the truth of God. It's inbuilt in you because you are a child of God. You know, you can be in a denomination, you are happy, everybody is happy there. You are there, but you don't feel things are okay. There's something in you that tells you, yes, we are in church. Yes, we are singing songs. Yes, we are hearing the word. We are, the preacher is preaching, but there's something lacking here.
Right.
As I was talking with the brother about this, this brother said, Brother Basi,
He's brought up in this environment. He's brought up, you know, he comes to the message through this other way. But there's just a hunger in him that there must be something that is more than what I'm getting here. What is that? That's what Jesus said. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. There is something in you if you're a true child of God. There's something in you that hooks you to the things of God, to the truth of God. And because you are hooked there, you have a desire to know about these things that have hooked you. You have a desire in you to get more of that which has been put in you. As it is, as I said, humanly speaking, you take a small child to school. The first thing in our place they teach the children is colors, to identify colors. Blue, green, yellow, red. That's in the kindergarten. That's what they are doing. They are given paint to paint. You know, the next day it wants to go to school. The next day it wants to go to school. There's something in it that loves to go there.
Right.
But, you know, the whole purpose of school is not to know this color is green or this purple. The purpose is for you one day to drive, to pilot an aircraft, is to be an engineer, to be a medical doctor. But there's something that pulls you. You don't even understand it. But that is the human element. That is it's something that is put in a human being, which makes a child wants to go on, even in things that it does not fully comprehend. That's what it is when you come to Christ as a child of God. When you go through chastisement, it may not be explained to you why you are being chastised. God never told them why he was doing what he was doing. Until after 40 years, he then says, you know what? Why I did what I did for the past 40 years? I wanted to know if you followed my law from the heart. But why didn't you tell us in the beginning? God doesn't do that.
That's right.
It's at the end when he tells them. And then, it's at the end then when you notice, now when you see, who am I? Then Joshua and Caleb could then comprehend and say, that's why. Why did we keep on going? Why did we keep on having faith in these things? It was God,
right,
who wanted our hearts. Now what did we do about this? Then they could witness in themselves that we fully followed God. And then God came down and confirmed. He said, because you fully followed me, you are going into the land.
Amen. That's right.
You see? So, that's why Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. That's why God, he brought us to him. Like James says, we were born again by the word of God. It is this seed of God which is in you. Amen. Like any other seed, when it's planted, something that does not look like a seed comes up. But the seed is happy. It is seeing something that is not even like the seed. But let it grow. One day it will produce another which is like that which went down. Because the life is in the seed. So the understanding of the purpose of God is in you by breath, by the word.
Amen.
You are a child of God. Because of that, the devil can never take you from that foundation.
Right.
You see? Because that's what you are. You see? You are what you are. You may change your house, you may change your locality, you may change your job, You may change, even the country of your origin, you go to another country, that doesn't change you. You see? You are what you are by birth. Amen. Amen. So you are what you are by the predestination of God. And you are a child of God. That's why you hear the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we go back to chapter 6 of St. John. John chapter 6, verse 45. Or maybe we start from verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.
Amen.
Let's go to the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 4. Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Paul was a great teacher. He taught the people the things of God. But you can see here, it shows he could not teach the things of God to people who were foreign from those things. Like in the book of Corinthians, he says, we teach these spiritual things to spiritual people because they are spiritually discerned. It is not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom from above. So Paul says, we cannot teach you about this love and these things because you are taught of God. And Jesus says, it's written in the prophets, it's in Isaiah, that those of God are taught of God.
Right.
And how does God teach? How, you have to go into what, you know, God did to Abraham. How God dealt with Jacob. How God dealt with the people of Israel. How did he bring his word to them? And what did he expect of them to do? So those who are of God, they are taught of God. And how does God teach? Jesus said, you cannot understand my words because you are of your father, the devil. So if being born of the devil makes somebody not to understand the things of God, even if they are taught to him day and night, didn't Paul say they are those women who learn the truth but never come to know the truth? There is a possibility of hearing the word of God every day or every minute of the day.
That's right.
But without comprehending or understanding the word of God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You see? So it does not just take something to be taught. Jesus says, they are taught of God. How does God teach? Mm-hmm. It has got to be in us. It has got to be by his predestination. It has got to be by his adoption.
Doesn't the Bible say the spirit of adoption cries out in us, Abba, Father? The spirit of adoption makes us to be submissive to the word of God, even without a full understanding of the purpose of God. There's something that calls us to accept the truth of God. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says Moses, when he became of age, I just like that part, when he was of age, by faith, you see, he was taught, it was told him who he was. His mother told him. But he came of age. When he came, you know, of age, he started to see the unseen.
Right.
When he saw the unseen, that really gave him a good teaching.
Right.
He was living good and nice in the house of Pharaoh. But when he was taught from above, he forsook the riches of Egypt.
Amen.
Why? The teacher had come. Why could he be taught and understand? Because he was born of God for a purpose of God. We are not here of our own selves. We are not here because we want to be here. But it's something that brought us here. It is that spirit of sonship. And when we sit under the word of God or the teaching of the word of God, there's something in us that accepts and grasps the purpose of God. And then we cannot be led astray. Amen.
Amen.
Those who are of God, they are taught of God. Amen.
Amen.
And Paul says, we teach the spiritual things to spiritual people. Not with the wisdom of this world, which comes to naught, but with the wisdom that is from above. Amen. Peter understood the miracle. He understood when Jesus performed that miracle of fish, Peter understood that he is calling me. He says, Lord, I'm a sinner. One day, Elijah was passing by while Elisha was plowing his fields. You know, it was nice. Maybe the rain had just come. You know, it's nice when after the rain, you know, you go to a field and you start plowing. And I can see Elisha there with his oxen plowing. Good. And then the prophet of God, whom he recognized as a man of God, he came and threw his mantle on him. Oh, what a blessing. Here I am on my farm, and the prophet gives me his jacket. It means now I am to be more blessed. I must now concentrate on my farming, because the prophet has confirmed that I am a good farmer. But he said, wait a minute, let me bid farewell to my family. Then Elijah said, what have I done to you? I've only thrown my jacket on you. I never said, you come, you know, when you come, I'll make a prophet out of you. I'll anoint you to be a prophet. You are going to take my place. Elijah never did that.
Right.
He just threw his jacket, his mantle. Why did Elijah say, I want to follow you? The same anointing that told Peter to accept that I'm a sinner is the same anointing that came on Elisha to tell him that by throwing the mantle on you, it means follow me.
Right.
Elijah did not explain that. You see, there's something in sonship. There's something in being a child of God. You can comprehend, you can see, you can catch the vision.
Amen.
You can catch the purpose. You are not alarmed. You are not taken aback by even events in your life. Because as far as you are concerned, all is well.
Amen.
Why? Because you have a hope as an anchor which goes into the inner veil.
Amen.
You are anchored there by this anointing, by this spirit of sonship that calls out Abba Father.
Amen.
That's what keeps you going.
Right.
So the children of God, they hear the voice of God. Amen. That's why Abraham, when God spoke to him, he says, look at the stars, so shall your children be. And the Bible says he believed God. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
And then Isaac came on the scene. But he never started to build a house. He said, now, what I've been wandering for has come. I want to build now my mansion. He kept on living in tents.
Mm.
What was he looking for? For a city with a foundation. You see, who told him about foundation city? He was told, I'll give you a son. And he was given the son. That must have concluded the thing.
Mm.
But as the son of God, there's something that was in him that showed him that this is only the figure of the true thing.
Right.
You see, that's what keeps us going. Amen. And if we cannot come to that, we'll just be circling around Mount Seir for ages and ages. You see, that's why people may never come to the understanding of the purpose of the message. Why God sent the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You see? By sitting around there, we think we are in the message.
Right.
Just going around about until people, they come to think that the audible voice of Brother Branham is the voice of God. Just sitting there. But one thing that I've noticed is you never get blood out of a tunic.
Mm.
It may look red like blood, but it's not blood. You never get life from anything that is not the word of God.
Right.
Because life comes from the word.
Right.
It is the word that gives us life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we are taught of God. When does this teaching begin? It begins when we are genetically made the children of God. When by the word of God we are born into life, we have the new birth by the word of God. So what begets us is the word, so that we can grasp, we can understand, we can comprehend, we can follow, we can submit ourselves under the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way that God can bring us a true understanding of what he is. And as it was with Abraham, when he believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And now, he could live the life. It says he had faith, and he believed in hope against hope. His life was changed. His manner of life was changed. Why? Because now he was brought into that which gives life. When you are a child of God, you live by the word of God. That's what keeps you going. And what is the word of God? It is the mind of God put across to you. When problems came when they were in the wilderness, when there was dryness and no water, when there was no food and no this, to Joshua and Caleb, it gave them life. It gave them to be even stronger in their faith in God. Because there was another spirit in them. So is it with us. It is that sonship. It is that spirit of sonship that makes us to comprehend and to bear even the hardships of life as we walk this road. Amen. Why is it hard sometimes on us? Why is it difficult for us? Why don't we just give up? There's something that God implanted in His children that understand or that hear the voice of God. There is a submissiveness. There is that adherence to the things of God by those who are born of God. And the children of God, they hear when God speaks. Amen. How does God speak? And when does He speak? You know, He has got peculiar ways of speaking to each and every one of us.
Right.
He has got a way He speaks with you. You know, it's His pleasure just to have a time with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He had a nice time with Job one time when Job was going through his problems.
Mm-hmm.
But God was having a nice time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Proving to Satan that Job was His child.
Mm-hmm.
That was the greatest moment in God's life. I mean, in God's experience, if He has, you know, with Job. When he was going through what he was going through. That was the glory to God. When Christ was on the cross, that was the greatest moment when he was redeeming us all. But it was painful. It was hard. But he said, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." Why? Because he was the Son of God. So God has good times with us sometimes.
Sure.
Even when we are going through fire, we are going through terrible things. But God is having a good time.
Amen.
Proving that we are His own.
Yes, amen.
Speaking to us in a language that the world may not understand.
Right.
They may come to you. If that is so, why this? If God is for you, why this? If God is good, why this? But within you, you are having a feast with God. You are having good times with God. And you know, it is those times that are really good for us. When we can come out and then speak of the grace of God. When we can come out and then speak of the goodness of God. And appreciate the goodness of God in our lives.
Praise the Lord.
When God is speaking to us. But you know, it just takes that for you to have an ear so that you can hear.
Amen.
What God is actually speaking to you. Through what you are going through, through the ministry of the Word of God, through the goodness that is coming into your life, God can be speaking to you. Amen. Like Jacob of old, when God had blessed him, He had given him everything, then he could say, "I'm not even worthy of all these things that you've given me. I crossed this river with only my staff, but now I've got all these blessings. But I am not even worthy." That made him to humble himself before God. Why? Because a few steps ahead, Esau was coming. When Esau came, he could go back to God and say, "These things that you have given me, Esau is coming to destroy. Now help me, because I fear him." Can you see how God deals with us? Amen. And He builds in us a confidence in Him. And that is only because we are children of God. And we are taught of God. Without that teaching, without that foundation in us, we can be tossed around by any wind of doctrine, or any wind of hardship, or things, or even blessings. Like that farmer said, "Oh, now
My soul, you should rest. I've got everything now. He broke down all the barns and built bigger ones, and everything was fine. He said, now, I'm fine. My soul, rest in peace. You don't have to worry. You see, he had a wrong perspective of the blessing that he was given. And the young man, when Jesus says, get rid of all these things, he had a wrong interpretation of God dealing with him. You see, he was given many things, and then God said, leave them and come follow me. He could not. He's not the only one who was rich, who was called of God. Many people were rich. Abraham was told, leave everything, come follow me.
Right.
And he followed God. The disciples, Jesus told them, Matthew was there making money. Jesus says, leave that, come follow me. He followed. Peter, after he had caught a lot of fish, Jesus says, now leave those fish, come follow me. He followed. But the young ruler, he could not. Paul, with all the might and all the backing he had and all the knowledge he thought he had, the Lord came and said, leave everything, come follow me. And he said, all that I had, I considered it as done, and I followed Christ.
Right.
You see, because he could hear. And when he looked back, he could see the grace of God. One day he was in problems. He asked God, oh God, take me out of this problem. God could say to him, my grace is enough.
Yes.
And he understood. He knew what it was because he was taught of God. They took him and put him in prison. He did not start to grumble and complain Saturday, Sunday, Monday, as we have seen. He started to sing praise to God. Can you see? He understood the purpose of God in his life. And one day when they were building the statue to cut off his head, he wrote to Timothy, now I've run and finished the course. I have kept faith. I'm just awaiting the crown, which is going to be given me, not only me, but all those who love the Lord. He understood. Amen. You know, one day we will come to the full view of the purpose of God. But as for now, let's just be humble and listen and hear from God. Whatever we go through, whatever comes through our life, let's just have time to discern. Is God speaking? Amen. Like one day, was it Brother Branham was out there in the forest, and then he saw those three rainbows? He approached them until he felt, I should not go any further. Then he said, Lord, what would you have your servant to know? What do you want me to know? There's something that you want me to know out of this. You see? And like that in the scripture, where he says, what would you have your servant to do? Like Mary, here I am, behold thy handmaid. I'm here for you to do what you want to do. Amen. Just submitting ourselves to the purpose of God, because we can hear his voice and we understand his action in our life. You know, it's so blessed to be a child of God. It's just the grace of God. It just keeps us going. We have this understanding. We have this in us that we can hear when God speaks, either through the message or in what happens in our lives. We can hear. God can communicate with us. He can actually commune with us, and we answer back with positive answers, irrespective of the situation we are going through. That will keep us even clean from sin and defilement.
Amen.
Because we are hearing from him.
That's right.
Oh, how I wish and how I'd like for God to keep on calling us. As his sheep, we fondly follow him.
Amen.
As his sheep, we humbly follow his leading. as his sheep, we submit ourselves to his leadership.
Amen.
And one thing for sure, if we keep upon that track, one of these days, he will call us from on high.
Amen.
And we will hear.
Right.
And we'll go.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Will I add something here too? You know, a lot of people read the book of Job, and there's always been a lot of question why Job was treated the way he was treated. What did the Lord deal with him when Satan challenges God? There's always a reason behind the hand of God when certain things happen in our life. Why certain things were allowed to come upon us. After all, the Bible said about Job being a man who eschewed evil, you know, and loved the Lord and so on and so forth. But there was something definitely in Job that God wanted him to know. And the very reason God treated Job the way he was treated, so that he may come out of his ignorance. That's one of the real reasons. There are a lot of people who claim to know God, and they're still evil. They live a holy life. We can see the Buddhists, we can see even all those in paganism. Isn't that right? Is it not true?
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of very silent today, you can't say amen or what? Say a little amen, so you know the preacher get excited, you know. Sometimes when he's too quiet, he does, you don't know whether you're sleeping. You see, the thing is out there. I mean, a person don't have to be a Christian to show that he can be a holy person, a clean person.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of people in the Christianity that act holy. They say they believe in the Lord and they keep the commandment and so on and so forth. Actually, they're keeping creeds and dogmas and traditions, doing what they were told to do. But they never really experienced God. Job, on the other hand, he did experience God, but there are things that he not quite remember. See, I've heard. Many have heard. You have heard the message, you have heard the truth. But have you seen the revelation of what it is? That's another thing altogether.
Amen.
So that's why finally, with all that which God put Job through, with all his comfort coming to say this and that, you know, that's a lot of reasoning. Look at the intermediate spirit, there's a lot of reason. Look at the denominator, lots of reasoning. Look at the charismatic. Why they do what they are doing? Huh? Why they go through with all the tongues and all the modern day dancing and rock music in the church, and it's all right. They have their reason carnally. And this comes again to Job, and they did the same. But Job still maintained his ground, what he believed he knows. Until finally God said to Job, stand on your feet now.
Amen.
That's a different thing. Sometimes we slumber. A lot of people slumber and never really stand on their feet to know the Lord. You know, when you don't stand, you sit too long, you know what happened to you, you get a punch for eating too much and not knowing what you're eating. Lots of people are eating junk food, really. But when Job was given the truth, where were you, Job? When I laid the foundation of the world. God now made him to see. Say, I've heard, now I see. Now I understand. You know. So that is the thing we want to thank God for. That God opened our eyes to see the very truth in this entire message. What it is all about. And I want to thank God personally for what he had dealt with me in slightly more than 2 years, and open my eyes to see. Don't go that way of Branhamism. Go the way of my word. And that's why I stood for all these years, the word of God, and whenever you stand for the truth, you have a problem. You will have a problem.
Amen.
Your enemy will come against you. And one thing for sure, the revelation stands on the rock.
Amen.
It will never be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what comes against you, you will stand. And one thing what God will do, he will vindicate that truth when you have it. Amen.
Amen.
right? All those other people are singing sand, they will go. They'll collapse, they'll break up, and there'll be nothing. And they will carry about with winds. And the Lord bless you, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message, O Lord. Oh, the simplicity of the word of truth that's spoken out from the Holy Word. Father, we rejoice to see the revelation, to understand and comprehend, and to chew on it, Father, to digest the very life of the bread from heaven, that we may walk the way of the Spirit of the life of the Word. We thank you, Father. So, Lord, we know that we are born again by the Spirit of life. We are spiritually, O Lord, genetically, by the Spirit, are your children, because you have given us that life and give us a new birth. And that when you do that, Father, in our life, you said that a new heart will I give you. And truly, Lord, you took away the stony heart and you wrote upon our hearts, O Lord, your word of life. And you sit upon the very throne in our heart, Father, that we can worship you and walk with you. And we thank you for this life. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.